Greetings is co-hosted and co-produced by Bobby O'Rourke and Dan Conroy. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at GreetingsPod or on Twitter at GreetingsCast for weekly updates, photos, and to see what card we're talking about that week. Greetings, love bugs, and thank you for joining us here on another episode of Greetings, the Greetings Card Podcast. I am Cupid's own Dan Conroy.
And I'm Eros's own Cupid's buddy from Greece, I think, was the first one. It's me. I'm Bobby O'Rourke. Hello.
Oh, hello there. And honestly, to quote Bob's Burgers, one of the best lines they ever said, Cupid is just a baby that wants to watch you kiss. And that, I think, is the energy we feel in Valentine's Day, how we feel with this coming up. Because if you're listening to us now, ding dongs, with the appropriate time and date, we are recording this very near Valentine's Day, 2 days before. When this comes out, probably a week after, but that's perfectly fine. Let's cut to the nitty gritty now before we waste any more time, because our ding dongs know exactly what we like talking about. Bobby, favorite Valentine's Day candy? Go for it.
Oh, man.
I think we might have talked about this last year, but we'll see.
Let's do it again, because people love it. Not the silly chalk hearts. What is the...
Those chalk hearts are bad. The Necco wafer hearts. Do they still make those?
Someone must in their basement.
Yeah.
It's a cottage industry now.
Yeah, it's an abandoned cottage industry is what it is. The basement of a cottage.
I was just going to say my favorite, but to continue, I'm thinking of my favorite.
I was going to say they make those candy wafers now out of sweet tarts. They have for probably well over a decade now. Mm-hmm. Not to crib on exactly, I asked you to pick your favorite candy, but I will say that definitely is a good one. I prefer chocolate, but that is definitely a good evolution of what was once a very depression level candy.
It's really come a long way. It was the poor man's candy, and then it became slightly less poor man's candy as time went on.
It became the bourgeoisie candy. It became something you could sort of put in your pocket, and then you're going into the town square to buy your various frocks and three-cornered style hats, and children would come up and beg for quarters and pennies so that they could take the quarters and the pennies and then smush the penny into like that little tourist image, like greetings from St. Louis. Then you get a St. Louis penny. But instead you give that child a sweet tart candy and they're mad at you because that's not money.
Even as a child, I thought that the impress an image on a penny machine was bullshit. I remember asking my mom, what is this? And she said, you put a quarter in and it makes a picture. And I said, why? She's like, I don't know. We just got to go home. I'm just getting you joggers. Let's get out of here.
Yes. Come on, we're so close to buying you sweatpants. Don't get distracted again. I love the idea. Greetings from the Middlesex County Mall. They have just like a penny smasher for like the
She's
mall.
Like, come on, we're almost out of Pennsylvania. I don't need this.
We're right on the border. I thought you were gonna ask me for fireworks. I'm just grateful it wasn't for that. How are those a perfect Valentine's Day discussion? How are those penny smushers legal? Because I was always under the impression...
Yeah, that's a crime to destroy currency.
Is it that the price of a penny, one whole American cent, is so small that there has never been any thorough prosecution of those that do it? Because, I don't know. I mean, you do it enough times, you've smushed a whole dollar, right?
That's what I would think. Maybe it's just a crime not worth prosecuting. Like you said, how are we going to get all the people who defame pennies with images or don't put their shopping carts back after visiting the supermarket? We just can't. It's the volume is too great. We can't police everybody.
Who polices the policers who watches the penny watchman? I just quickly looked this up, and luckily, thanks to Quora, we've got a firm answer and probably a fake one. Mm-hmm. But let's see. It says here that according to statute 18 USC section 331, it is illegal to mutilate coins with the intent to use them fraudulently. But since pressed pennies, which is what we're talking about here, are made as souvenirs with no intent to pass them off as currency, they get the green light. Pun wouldn't be intended, because even though we're talking about money, pennies are bronze or copper. So, in color.
Bit of a mixed metaphor there from Quora.
So what they're saying is that if you're using money fraudulently, then you get in trouble. But for example, if I wanted to make like a money handkerchief, if I wanted to make like a $5, a newsy cap, then you get away with it. But the minute you start like saying this $5 is $10, then it's jail time.
What if I made a papier-mâché image of you, Dan, to put in my bed, and it was just lacquered with $5 bills? I'm like, well, I didn't use them fraudulently, but I did deface Abraham Lincoln's image, I guess, for this thing.
Is that your Valentine's Day gift to me this year, Bob?
Ah, I spoiled it again.
Aw, I've been working on a papier-mâché one of you. But I have been using all of that Italian lira I've been keeping from before the United European Union got together. And I've been creating it for you.
Aw, this is almost like a gift of the Magi for people who haven't read the story.
Yeah, exactly. If you know nothing about the plot, that's exactly what it was.
Precisely.
You know what wasn't a gift of the Magi back in the day, Bobby? And that was the origins of this holiday. Because, again, we're talking about Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's, the idea of candy hearts, roses, chocolates galore, but I couldn't care neither hide nor hair about the actual traditions that we enjoy today. Instead, I want to crack open that coconut and get to the sweet, watery meat that is the tradition Mm-mm. beforehand. Mm-mm-mm. And Bobby, how much do you know about the original tradition known as, and I'm probably saying this incorrectly, Lupercalia?
Ooh, I don't think I know anything off the top of my head. I have a vague notion that lupe is Latin for wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And Calia means some sort of fiesta or fete. I only know a little bit about the history even of St. Valentine's. I think the popular conception myth is that he secretly married people when briefly the Emperor Claudius made it illegal for soldiers to marry in an attempt to draft more people into the army, but I'm not sure if any of that is true.
See, leave it to Bobby to have the real information under his frock ready to go. And unlike me having to look up all of this, right on the money, Lupercalia is basically just wolf festival.
Ooh,
in the Greek and later the Etruscan. Although originally this festival, which was celebrated by the Romans before St. Valentine, it was also known as Februa, which is the rough Latin for purifications or purgings. Which is a reference, if I'm reading this correctly, to it's a type of instrument called a februum, which was used by the Romans for this celebration. And that's how we get February. Anyways, as opposed to what St. Valentine was doing, which was to help individuals, basically what we're talking about here with this holiday, Lupercalia, is far more gruesome, and I'm going to get into it right now. For some reason, it just failed on me. Let me just get the...
They're trying to keep it from us, Dan. They don't want us to know.
Which I am not into. Okay, here we go. A little history of Lupercalia, which, by the way, I have gleaned from history.com, so take it as you will, because history.com loves making pornography of history in order to make it sound sexy. So Lupercalia survived the initial rise of Christianity, but was outlawed or deemed unchristian in the 5th century. But what is the origins itself? To begin the festival, all right, let me start from the beginning here. It's celebrated on the Ides of February, so between February 13th and 15th, it is a fertility festival dedicated to Faunus, the Roman god of agriculture, as well as to the Roman founders Romulus and Remus. Let's explain the tradition, shall we? To begin the festival, members of the Luperci, which is an order of Roman priests, would gather at a sacred cave where the infants Romulus and Remus, founders of Rome, were believed to have been cared for by a she-wolf or lupa. Mm-hmm. The priests would then sacrifice a goat for fertility and a dog for purification. They would then strip the goat's hide into strips, dip them in the sacrificial blood, and then take to the streets, gently slapping both women and crop fields with the goat hide. Oh, we're not done yet. Far from being fearful, Roman women welcomed the touch of the hides, debatable, because it was believed to make them more fertile in the coming year. Later in the day, according to legend, all the young women in the city would place their names in a big urn. The city's bachelors would each choose a name and become paired for the year with this chosen woman. With his chosen woman, excuse me. These matches often ended in marriage. Now, let's debate this a little bit. The end part sounds... I mean, you don't like it if you're not paired with someone you don't like, so obviously that part kind of sucks. But that seems far less bloody and egregious than the part where you are getting slapped with a recently sacrificed goat hide.
Some qualms for me.
It does raise a few qualms, and I kind of just brought it up because I love that we go from this tradition of taking two animals, killing them, and then taking their flesh and just slapping people with it, and that, you know, of course, through hundreds if not thousands of years and history as it goes down to this holiday of candy and deciding for yourself, do I want the Russell Stover's marshmallow chocolate or do I want the Russell Stover's caramel chocolate today? Which one am I going to choose?
Or Ghirardelli, God forbid.
Money bags over here. Too good for a Palmer's brand. You're the light of my life. Valentine's chocolate heart dollar bill. Everyone knows what I'm talking about when I said that.
Absolutely.
I don't know. It almost begs the question, Should we go back to that? Is that what's waiting for us on the other end? Going back to the goat hide tradition?
Look, you know, the part that intrigued me most actually was sort of this forced temporary marriage, which is...
Yeah, that part sucks too.
Well, that part... I could see a rom-com being made of in this day and age. I think that'd be a really funny and good premise. Is there's a festival in which you end up married to a succession of men or women or whatever, but only for a year apiece, and you don't really have a choice. You have to only spend a year. In some cases, you're sad to see them go, but in other cases, you're like very glad to that the festival occurs yearly. You don't have to stay with this person.
I do like the idea of that, because I don't know how many historical rom-coms have existed, maybe a few that I'm not aware of, but the idea that we're going to go back to ancient Rome, and yeah, we just like get a little vignette of each of these couples, and one of them's like, oh, we really love each other, we're gonna have to try to end this in marriage, and then one of them's like, boy, I cannot wait till this is over, this is not doing anything for us, and then there's maybe a middle one that's like, I can't tell if this is working and we've only got a year left. Like, that's the couple we focus the most on, the protagonists, is just like, oh, we might like each other but we don't know. Well, luckily we've got some time. No, we don't, we've only got a month left. Oh Christ, what do we do? Or gods, because it hasn't been adopted yet. What do we do?
Yay, gods.
ye gods.
Oh, man. Tartarus used my good olive oil. I was saving that one, and he just walked right into the pantry, and just because he thinks we're married for a year, he owns the joint, and he used the good olive oil.
I like Fausta dearly, but she just never wears the proper togas based on what events we're going to properly. Obviously, we are not equestrian yet, so you can't have the gold sash around it. I don't remember. I had like a vague memory of how they used to wear them, but I can't remember anymore.
Tiberius, pilums go in the nook. Gladiuses go in the cubby. I can't do it again.
Look, I don't know what to tell you, Rufius. You don't need to eat the dormice when I order them. I just like eating them. I know they come out of a cooked pig's stomach, but it tastes good, okay? We don't have to like the same things when we go out, okay?
You don't have to order it. I'm going to eat it. That's why I ordered one
portion. Yeah, I'm the one that's going to eat it.
But your original question was the first part, which is the origins of this holiday, or the slapping of the hides. You said this is the most unromantic portion of the ritual that you could see. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that the first thing that I talked about, because I kind of went a little below the history.com article, and it said Lupercalia survived the initial rise of Christianity in Rome, but was outlawed in the end of the 5th century as it was deemed unchristian. And
well, in fairness, it is. So,
yeah.
You know.
But I want to wonder whether or not there's a little bit of crossover, because as you can imagine, dear Ding Dongs, I did the amount of work that we ever do for these episodes, which is read about one half, or not even, probably one fourth of this whole article. And I don't know whether or not any of those more sacrificial traditions existed into the St. Valentine's Day style, which, like you said, was to help with marriages to avoid war, but also there was like the exchanging of, you know, letters to each other and chocolates later on, although that came much later. I believe the first cards were in like the 15th century, so it'd be another what is that, 1,000 years before we get there. But yes, it was 1400
when
we got there. Yeah, it just makes me wonder, like, okay, how many goats had to continue to die until they were like, what about a greeting card? What about that?
Yeah,
that's a lot less blood.
It's a lot less work. It doesn't have the necessary religious overtones if you're not into the goat sacrifice or into the gods of the Romans. You don't have to do that part. It's a lot less cleanup, from what
I
can imagine. I
mean, look, Valentine's Day is going to have its own cleanup, whether you're trying to make chocolates or whether you're trying to make your own card or cooking a dinner that's not going that great. But it's not goat blood, and you got to give it to you there.
Yeah. It's not goat blood.
This holiday season, remember, it's not goat blood.
Not goat blood.
Although, should it be? That's what I'm saying. Do we go? I don't think we can go back to it. That doesn't instill romance.
Well, why is it wolf-based? That's so prior to greeting cards, we're going way back before greeting cards, before Saint Valentine himself. It's a festival that seems to be squarely located in the mythology and the priesthood of the wolf, which I've never thought of as a typically romantic or monogamous animal if the festival ends in a long-term pairing of couples. That's just a funny analog to me.
It feels very Roman era patriotism that has been instilled into this holiday, which maybe that was the purpose. Like, we're thinking of it from our modern points of view, where there is a distinction between patriotism of the state and celebrating holidays and enjoying them kind of separate to that. But I feel like a lot of these, they're one in the same. So it was about, you know, wanting to be fertile and have good crops, but also being proud that you're a Roman. You got Romulus and Remus helping create this thing. They were raised by a wolf. Why can't you? And so it's, I think that's where the line is that, yes, it does involve a wolf because that is where you come from. You come from, you are a empire raised on wolf milk, which you gotta imagine is probably pretty strong stuff.
I would think so. And I feel like, as a fan of history, as I know you are, the Roman Empire in this great weird ball we call Western history, it sort of plays the role of like a very compelling but ultimately bad father, where it's like, sure, the stories are great, we have a lot of fun thinking about the exploits, but when you really dig down deep into the gristle, you're like, man, there were a lot of strange morals and strange values we took from this empire that claimed to be the father of us all. And it's like, oh god, you guys are just like weird and violent and sexual in ways that I don't fully comprehend. And it's, I got a lot to unpack, you know, as we head into this, and much, our 21st century.
And much like that metaphor, like there are those that lauded that father of a origin and sort of didn't allow us to fully investigate the brutality and the violence and the trauma that came with it. It was just like, oh, fantastic stuff. We're talking art and music and getting to wear one article of clothing as you walk around. And then you sort of dig in the diaries when they're not looking in the attic and just go, okay. Oh boy. Beans. And like you sort of learn just how brutal and how trying that must have been for the average Roman living there. So yeah, it wasn't all that was cracked up to me, but what do you do? They're dead now.
We remember the columns, certainly, but you know, we don't always think about the violence. That's true. I would love to see if I could ask, are you familiar with the podcast History is Sexy?
I am not aware of that, actually. I have not heard that one.
It's two people, Dr. Emma Southen and Janina Mathewson, who are just these really fun-loving, smart history buffs who just take on questions from the audience and they sort of do deep dives. And I would love to have them do one either on Valentine's Day or Valentine's Day cards. And I think there's a chance I could reach out and be like, hey, I'm also, they're like mid-level podcasters and we're bottom feeders, so maybe I could reach for the sun and be like,
we're
hey,
not even
talk to us. We'd love to have an episode about Valentine's Day.
I would love that because we're not even catfish. No. Yeah, we definitely, we are like
flounders
whatever,
at best.
Not even, I think we're whatever a hermit crab eats. I'm not sure what that is, but like we're, is that plankton? It's like, because we could be, that's fine with me.
I don't know.
Krill. Yeah, we're probably krill.
Yeah.
You didn't eat any of your krill, so now it's mine. So yeah, we're definitely krill feeders here. So History is Sexy?
The podcast is called History is Sexy, yes.
Oh, listen, and it's Dr. Emma Southen and Janina
Mathewson. I just have
Janina Mathewson, please reach out to us, or we'll reach out to you, and then you reach out to us, please.
No, they should come to us. I agree. They should not knowing me or you. They should approach us.
No. We reach out to them, and we go and say, listen, we want to know more about greeting cards. Please help us bring this to light, because you and I come on here, and we basically just guess, and that's fun.
We do.
But we need professionals too.
We need help.
We need help. We're not doing so swell. Well, like, we're doing great.
Like when Michael Jordan helped the Toons win against the Monstars in Space Jam. That's kind
of helping. Oh yeah. Oh man, God, I want to be like the big Monstar that likes cheeseburgers. That's the guy I want to be.
I want to be Wayne Knight.
Don't we all?
We all do.
I want to be Bill Murray? I guess maybe a little bit.
Depends on the era. But this Valentine's Day, people, find your Wayne Knight. That's all we wish for you.
Guys, get out there. Whoever your Wayne Knight might be, whether it's Newman, whether it's the dude from Jurassic Park who gets the poison shot in his eye. I once isolated that scream for one of these episodes. Yep. Or it's the character in Space Jam. Bobby, do we have a fourth one we want to bring out to the people?
Yes, he's briefly and cheaper by the dozen as a repairman.
Yes.
Who says, way over your head, and then he leaves.
Listen, Wayne Day of Joy and a Wayne Night of Pleasure. Don't forget that this Valentine's Day. And if I get around to it, I will make us some wonderful Valentines with his face on it because he deserves it.
You didn't say the magic word. It's I love you.
It's the wood that makes it good. Happy Valentine's Day.
These lend themselves very well. I wasn't expecting that.
See, that's what I'm saying. Absolutely. Also, he was a postman in fucking Seinfeld, so I'll definitely do something there.
Oh my, this is so, we got to get in touch with this guy's agent.
Absolutely.
Sitting on a gold mine here.
Wayne Knight, get over here. Help us out, please. You know what I can help us out with, though?
Mm-hmm.
Is a car.
Ooh.
Do you want to do So while Bobby's opening up his Valentine's that I sent to him this year, you can absolutely open up the same Valentine's at GreetingsPod on Instagram and at GreetingsCast on X. And of course, if you liked what you heard tonight, which we're already in the middle of, but I'm going to say it here anyways, definitely send us a little rate and review. We definitely would appreciate it on whatever you get your podcast on. And while Bobby is opening this up, I want to make something clear, because Bobby, what you're going to see is a little bit more difficult. We have to dive deep into the archives this time around. Mm. We have been spoiled, you and I, with scans and good photographs. And this one's going to be a little bit more difficult. And I want to take a time right now to say ahead of time how much I appreciate your patience as you research this card. Because this is a card, and I mentioned this off air before we began recording. This is a card that I think about more than any other card around this time. I have thought about it at least once a year for over 10 years. But I haven't really brought it up. Yes, this is a card that I remember from college.
Oh my, but this is really reaching back into the archives.
But I have not brought it up because I was under the impression that it was a lost piece of footage. And thanks to the ancient diatribes known as Live Journal, I was able to find a copy of it from one post. I'm going to get more into it later, but I think I've said too much already. Oh. Again, there's a photo bucket watermark. It's not a great photo. You're going to have to read in between it. Let's just see how we do. If you need help, I'm here to hold your hand. Let's try to read the runes together and pray that it doesn't open up like a stone troll or like a wood giant. And instead, maybe we just like heal all our wounds.
Listener, you can't see my face, but I am so keyed up right now. Like this is a perfect trailer for whatever we're about to go into. It's got intrigue. It's got digging up the past. It's got Photoshop. It's got Live Journal. That doesn't get around much anymore.
That's not a pony that gets to go around the paddock that often because of its bum knee.
Nope.
And one more time before we take it out back with the good old 12 gauge, let's go ahead and enjoy one more lap around the old bad crick.
All right. Well, I'm going in right now. You sent me two. I should look at the most recent email. Yes, it looks like it got sent twice.
The most recent one, I had some email issues. I'm sorry. I have an iPhone 8.
That's okay. You're forgiven, but just barely.
Thanks.
Okay, I'm opening this up. Okay. Well, let me start with getting the bits out of the way. Photo bucket, protect more of your memories for less. No, I don't think that's part of the card, but I just wanted to say
that. No, I said I tried.
You did your best. You also appear to have taken this in front of a kindergarten cubby at the 3:05 p.m. because it looks like there's been some sort of small tornado that's run through the space behind the card.
It's very indicative of the time in which a photo was taken of it, which we'll get into later. But yes, this is the best photo for the era in which it was. This is a high schooler's like unclean bedroom.
Okay, so can you, before I jump into this card, because I think the context is important here, can you set the stage for us? What year is it? What's happening in Dan's life? Like, where are you as a human being on this blue marble we call Earth when this was taken?
So this is not my photo. This is a photo I had to find online. The first time I've ever seen this card was in my, if I'm remembering correctly, in my house that I lived in college, my junior year, which was the year 2013. Mm-hmm. However, to give you some context as to the age of this card, I took these photos from a Live Journal post that I found, and we're going to give a shout out here to Queen of the Eye Stores, hashtag Meso Loca, who went ahead and posted this on February 14th, 2005. Again, that's February 14th, 2005.
That's a very good vintage. Very good.
It's
vintage.
A very good vintage. It was a fine year. Probably not, you know, mission accomplished and all that. And the post that it came from said, "How could I forget?" ! So that's all I can give you until you start describing the card.
I love that there could be a post that could be read equally as desperation or nostalgia. It just depends on how you're feeling that day.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Okay, so listener, what we have here is the inside of the card. So I think we're starting on the inside, right, of this one, the page.
The outside should be red.
Oh, the outside. Okay, I've got the right one now. Sorry. So we've got photo bucket, protect more of your memories for less, which sounds like a great deal to me. So we have a Nickelodeon orange background, and what looks like on the left hand side some sort of swirly design, almost like a spiral or a cone. And then, very hard to miss, you have in the foreground two mimes That's more than most people get in a lifetime, so count yourselves lucky. The mimes are in matching orange suspenders, white button-up shirts, white gloves, black hat, and the traditional face paint, you know, white face, some black mascara around the eyes, and red lips, full red lips, and black trousers. And the message across the front in white lettering, "Happy Valen Mimes Day!" Exclamation point.
Mm-hmm.
Valen Mimes also is possessive, so Valen Mime is getting a day because they own the day. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So far,
I thought we came here in the spirit of love and understanding, and I feel like there's a Rubicon that's been crossed. If we're gonna stick with the Roman metaphors, that
Bobby
we can't go back from.
Bobby, love is, look, if
love
we learned
love.
Anything from if we learned anything from 80s hits is that sometimes love is a battlefield. And right now we are trying our best to get across the damn Ardennes and make sure that we've got everyone not hitting the mustard gas when their lungs collapse. And so far, I think so good, right? It's got everything you want in this holiday. It's got two mimes. It's got swirly designs. It's got fun graphics on the font. You know what I mean? Like, it's all wacky. What do you hate so much about it? What is your fucking
you
problem
know what?
With it?
If you know what, fair point to you, Dan, because one of my pet peeves these days is people who hate things out of rote. And you know what? On its face, I think I'm more scared by this car than anything else. I'm not angry. I don't know it and I don't understand it. But that's not how we can live in this day and age. We have to go reach across the aisle to our neighbors and say, "Hey, you're a mime on the front of a greeting card. Let's talk. I want to know what you're about." Well, let's not talk. You can't do that. But yeah. Let's communicate.
It's the complete opposite of what you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
I respect that there are a lot of strong feelings when you first see this. And I'm reaching my hand across the aisle and in the spirit of St. Valentine's or whatever the hell his spirit was. And I'm trying for us to get there together for what we're supposed to be. Because what I see when I see the front of this card, if I may give my interpretation, is the love that can only be had between two performers who couldn't make it as clowns. So they did the next best thing, which is pantomime.
We're going to get a lot of hate mail from the clowning community and the miming community to suggest that mimes are secondary clowns. I feel like we've opened the floodgates to that sort of criticism.
Are they allowed to type, or is that also not allowed?
I don't think they're not allowed to communicate.
they're not monks. They just are. This is just the form of...
Just
no,
ball
I don't.
Them up in a brick room. Like, you're a mime now. You can't get out. No one can hear you.
I love pantomiming. I don't mean to throw any barbs, any Cupid's arrows their way, because I believe that they are a fantastic art form. And what more is this not a pure form of love? These two performers who are trying to show their love the best way they can through their art, which I one is doing the box thing, and then the other one is, well, I don't mean to take it away from you. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, one is doing sort of the beginnings of the I'm in a box routine, it would appear to me, and the other one is doing, the only way I can describe it is like the poster for an As You Like It production that no one's going to see. It's sort of
Yes. Just
like that, leaning over lovingly to talk to someone, but your arms are outstretched because most people, when performing Shakespeare, feel the need to use their limbs at a level that I find distracting. But I'm not a theater critic, so
you mean like a little high up, like they're kind of a little bit above, like
a little high up, and you know, it's Shakespeare, so you got to remember these are the days when you were performing for illiterate peasants, so you had to kind of add some zhuzh, you know, a
penny
little,
stinkers,
a little,
exactly, yeah,
yeah, standing room only,
you ding dongs. Just sharing a pot to pee in.
Could you imagine it being lower class at one point to hear iambic pentameter and everyone in the audience was like, "Right, this is awesome. That sounds good." Like, that's
I'm really into this thing.
I'm really
right.
into this low class stuff.
You're saying they're merchants in Venice? I can't believe it.
All the nobles were like, "I only do free verse. It's way cooler."
Excuse me, you're saying there are two noble kinsmen? I can't be bothered with such things. I'm going to go watch a bear die by two dogs. Mm. That's kind of what my entertainment is, to be honest with you.
The Chris like Macbeth, not as Macbest.
Oh, love it. I love it. Let me tell you something. As You Like It, I didn't. Sorry. I was under the interpretation that mime, they're doing the very Elizabethan, like high, filling the room as best they can with their two limbs. But I also think it's the smelling of a rose. So if anything,
that's what it is. Of course, I'm a moron.
No.
Of course,
this is all. No, Bobby. This is all up to interpretation. And also, you're talking to someone who looks at this card once a year. So like, I was always under the interpretation it's the smelling of a rose. But the one on top is not doing the homework. That one is not at all figuring out what we're supposed to do here. What's another like activity in the great mime world that you're supposed to do to represent this holiday. Maybe eat a chocolate, or maybe present a rose that can be smelled, or maybe offer, like, in your hands, do one of these for the ding-dongs. I'm doing a heart shape with my hands.
You are.
Like, one of those things.
The
Any
pulling
of,
the rope to wrangle a lover, I feel like, is very popular in some circles.
The putting a lover in a box, which is a symbolization of your excessive love that might not be reciprocated. So maybe, you know, ease off a little bit. Maybe take one of those, you know, four walls off.
Make a door.
I like that the swirl on the left makes no goddamn sense. Like, what's the point of that?
Yeah, that's purely for design. And it also interferes with the lettering because it's the same color and cuts into happy. So it looks like, and if you take that out, it looks, it says P my mimes day. And I don't think that's the
P my mimes day. The other interpretation of this day. Oh, P my mimes day.
Of course, yeah. How do you celebrate?
That's when English is like 50,000 years old and like we're getting into like the very future. So like words just sound so very different.
Or when you hear a very dedicated English professor try to do Beowulf in the original Old English. And they just really get into it.
Yeah, that is just like the Old English Pima Mimes Day. And then we kill Grendel.
Grendel, great. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Grendel.
And his
absolutely.
Mom.
And his mom as well. Absolutely. Yeah.
Nice.
That's where they both come from. Yeah, I don't know. I can never stop.
I can see why you're compelled. Don't get me wrong. How could you look at this even as a young man and not immediately run, you know, to go get the change from your piggy bank, you know, and say, I'll take four of these.
Yeah, absolutely. I smash my Pauly Shore and Biodome piggy bank and I...
Thought you were saving for that trip to Europe, buddy.
Trying to save up for that trip to Europe. Not being able to make it because you're buying a card. Yeah, then I rush down to the local Five and Dime. I'm like, I must have this Valentine, please. I beg you. I only have 75 lira.
Like, sir, put the gun down. We'll just pay the $2.95.
Just like everybody else, and then you can just leave. I beg you. Yeah, it's they're both dressed the same. There's just... really, later part of this card is really going to do justice to what we're seeing right here, but... You hope it's strong Valentine's love. Are they saying it to each other, do you think?
That's the part that's confusing me the most, is they are both looking at different things, because the mime doing the box routine is facing the audience but looking to their stage right. And then
right. The
mime on the bottom doing the rose smelling is leaning stage left. So they don't appear to even be interacting with one another, which is strangely the most confusing part of the card, because I understand mimes, I understand the pun Valentine's Day, but to have them exist in two separate bits is the part that I feel like throws the whole thing off.
Yeah, it really begs the question, do these things exist in the same world together, because they feel very different in what they're trying to convey to me. Like, I don't see the affection very much. Are these mimes, that's a question here with this card, are these mimes supposed to love each other, or are these mimes merely messengers to give me a love that I am trying to receive from this card?
That's what I'm hoping is on the inside, is that question, is are these mimes in love, or are they just ships passing in the night silently because they can't
tell? I can't tell. And you know what? If you are a mime, can you please tell us, Bobby and I, can you love? Are you able to? Please let us know at GreetingsPod on Instagram or at GreetingsCast on X. Because we're not saying anything against your craft. I just don't know if that craft denies you the ability of affection. Because if this card is our only resource, it's not looking good. And so we need to know we need to know more. We need to know better.
It's one of the sexier clowning professions, I think, because your body has to do the talking, you know?
Yeah, it really does. Yeah, you need to use your whole body for it. So there definitely is a eroticism there. Marcel Marceau is definitely the sexiest actor who ever lived.
And if he could talk, he would agree.
Yes, if he could. Or if he was alive. But either one. He was fantastic. I did actually see him one time, and that was like a really
cool. Did you really? That's awesome.
Yeah, I was like a kid. This is a real thing. I was like, I always joked about being a mime in like elementary school. It's like a fun little, you know, when you're in elementary
school. Your bits were advanced even for, I love Dan being like just 10 years ahead in comedy, no matter what stage you're at. Like when you're five, you're making like 15-year-old jokes, and everyone's like, okay, cool. I'm coloring.
What about the government? But like, no, when I was like in elementary school, I would do like the whole box mime thing. And I had a teacher, shout out to Miss Randall, who sent me home with this clip of Marcel Marceau performing at the State Theater in New Brunswick. And my mom's like, do you want to go? And I was like, sure. So that was the first time I ever went to Tumulty's, which is a place in New Brunswick that Bobby and I know well.
Oh, yeah.
And I went to go see Marcel Marceau at the State. And it was probably one of the best performances of anything I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
Just for the sheer dedication, because it's one man. He had two assistants who would open the show, but it was one mime who did who captivated an audience for no less than an hour and a half. It might have been 2 hours, but like he just did bit after bit by himself. So as much fun as we're having here, like joking about mimes, make no mistake, that's the hardest shit I've ever heard.
It's an art form, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So this is perfect for the mime in your life that you should be celebrating and appreciating. And it's probably somebody you don't even know. It's somebody in your apartment building. It might be somebody in your family who's secretly keeping it from you. It might be your lover. Ask them. Yeah, have you ever asked? Probably haven't.
And they can't answer anyway, but you should ask them anyway.
You should ask them when they're off the clock, because mimes, I've learned, are off the clock sometimes.
They got a good union, UAW.
Yeah, they really do. Yeah, it keeps them from being exploited. Only 8 hours of mime work a day, followed by 30-minute breaks, and obviously you have some paid leave.
Actually, you know what? I applaud this card for bringing the possessive apostrophe back, because I think we've lost that as time has gone on, because no one... Or am I wrong? Does anyone put St. Valentine's Day as a possessive? I don't think I've seen that in a long time. This one is saying this day belongs to the Valen mimes. May we always adore
their
name.
Because I think his name was St. Valentine, so I think the name is Valentine's with the apostrophe.
It's
right?
A his day. It's like this is
it is
his
day.
Is
that
day,
is true.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, yeah. This is his day, you sons of bitches. Don't ever forget. The Feast of St. Valentine, known in the Anglican Communion, the Lutheran Church, traditional Catholicism. I'm just reading from the thing. I don't see an alternative, which means that it probably is. But I do like that they kept with the tradition here, meaning like, yeah, we're keeping Valen Mimes Day. We're not making them forget. It's not for multiple mimes.
Keep the mimes in Valen Mimes Day. Where's that bumper sticker?
Keep the mimes in Valen Mimes Day. I agree.
It's an election year, people. Get out there. Let them know how you feel.
Valen Mimes 2028. If not now, then when?
Mimes up.
And by now I mean for mimes up. Everybody, 2024, mimes up.
Glad I ruined that.
No, you didn't ruin anything. Well, you might have, but a title's a title, so.
Shall I go deeper into this card and we'll see
what
we
dig up? I sort of feel bad because this might be, yes, I would like you to go deeper, but I sort of feel like this either might be very thin or very long. We'll see how it goes.
Okay, that's fine. I do well with both.
All right, go to the next one.
Okay, so we're jumping right into the Stinger page. So I believe the card at the time would have had like a meditation page, like a white page in the second part.
Let's go ahead and rest assured that there was, I don't mean to interrupt, but let's go ahead and rest assured that there was a meditation page and it was white. And now we get to think about like whether or not we've seen mimes in our life or what mimes mean to us.
Ironically, the most mimish page of this particular card is the one where you're left to sort of in silence think about how things are and how things could be.
Exactly. Nothing but quiet for what Valen Mimes Day could be. And you have all the options in the world. Candy that's quiet. Roses that speak none. A horse-drawn carriage where no one talks.
No, keep going. This is my favorite Blink-182 song.
Nobody likes you when you're 23. The song that you sing outside of a window. Just being outside of your lover's window.
Just being outside of a window. Just be outside. If you can, if at all possible, this Valentine's Day, be outside of a window.
And that's about the time you walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And you're still here with the prank phone calls. Can't remember the middle of that lyric, but what the hell is wrong with me? My friends say I should act my... And then you just have like someone outside the window just going, ah, just like so... enraptured by this Blink-182 song. This Valentine's Day truly was the enema of the state.
So we opened the card and
whatever.
Oh boy. Okay. Ho ha.
Oh boy.
So I can't wait to hear your take on this, but listener, you'll recall that there are two mimes on the front page. It says, Happy Valen Mimes Day. You open it up. It's a blank white background and what could almost be like a Photoshop of a full photo, like not a rendering, a photo two-thirds of the page of a young boy, I'm going to say.
Yep.
With dark hair and pale skin, just giving the look of the most offended misunderstanding I've ever seen. Like this must have been a meme at some point, like in the early days of us slowly destroying ourselves with the internet. So it's just a and it looks like he's on a beach. Is that right? Like what is in the background?
I can't actually tell.
It's just a face, listener. It's just like a portrait of this kid just giving you the most side eye before I think side eye was even in the zeitgeist right, of the conversation.
Right.
Damn. You didn't make this.
No.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
You had a wild undergrad, so I wouldn't be, no judgment if you like made this and just like woke up one morning and this was in your bed with some loose popcorn or something.
I did. There was loose popcorn in some scenarios and other parts that I don't remember because of said loose popcorn in the bed. But ultimately, I recall this card existing. Now, I don't remember, and this could be the part that might be the red herring, is it might be possible that this was a meme that was printed out by a friend, but I distinctly remember this card being available on cardstock on our wall in the living room, right next to the Armageddon poster where we replaced every one of the person's faces with one of the ponies from My Little Pony. It was perfect. You could get the right amount.
Which
I was
pony?
More of a we had all of them. I was more of a Fluttershy. I think Fluttershy was Rockhound. Mm. Even though it was weird because Rockhound does it for the money, obviously, as we all know. But Fluttershy in the My Little Pony universe, which I'm very happy we're bringing back up,
yeah,
probably would have done it more for friendship more than anybody else because she loved her friends.
We knew that boomerang would come back around eventually.
You know what? We're going to bring back the Everfree Network right here. We're the ones to do it. Two guys who know so much about MLP. Yeah, I remember this being on our walls. So I am convinced that this existed as a piece of consumerist commodity that we could purchase at a store. However, when I say lost artifact, I am speaking to you, Bobby, and you ding-dongs, that this was not printed, I don't think, independently. A company did this. They printed this boy's face looking like you had just insulted their very being by saying Happy Valentine's Day.
You insulted their Lupercalia. You're like, there's no such thing as wolves.
You slapped this child with goat hide and said, you're going to have a great harvest. That's the face this child is giving us. And there's no flourish on the card at all.
No, there's deadpan.
All the work was put into the front. The design, the heart kind of askew in the back, the red background or orange background, depending on how it's looking, the two mimes that clearly were put in that pose. So much went into this front. And then the ball isn't even just dropped. The ball is thrown into a well and just goes, well, that's the end of ball time. And we are just given a cheaply printed photo of a child who probably has never seen this card before in their life and just looking at you as if you had just said, yes, I do this thing where I kill a dog and then dip goat's meat in it. And they're just like, what the fuck did you just say to me? And the fact that I remember it and that someone else in another part of the world remembers the same card means that it existed.
How could you not? I mean, how could you look at this card, this construction, the deconstruction, the decadence, the parsimony, and like, I would be shocked if I knew you had this and you didn't bring it on, I would have slapped you and then kissed you because there's no reason that this shouldn't come on the show.
The minute I remembered this card this year, I said to myself, this cannot wait another year. I cannot miss the opportunity again because I think you and I talked about Sweetest Day last year. We might have had a Valentine's Day card, but there's a chance. Actually, no, we might not have because we weren't doing this last February, right? If I remember correctly. During the Dark Ages.
Well, we had, I think we did the Moscow Middle Schooler episode was our last Valentine's Day. That was in the
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that was the Moscow Middle Schooler. You're right. Yeah.
I still owe
God.
You one of those. I haven't been able to locate a 7-Eleven Cowboys and Aliens cup to make one in, which is the proper cup for a
I don't know
Moscow
where mine went.
Schooler.
He sold it to me for $1, so that's more on me for not being able to find mine that I was so proud of when I was first able to get it. But no worries, friend. We'll print our own one day with the money we don't make from this podcast. But I was like, I could not wait another one for this to happen. I actually just shared with you the Live Journal post that shared this. And this is the last example.
Oh,
this Live Journal post is the last example of this card existing anywhere. So I'm very afraid this will be our last opportunity to enjoy it and immortalize it in the very eternal realm that is recording something on a podcast hosting site. So
that is a thing, though. People always, you know, I think our generation was brought up with this idea that the internet is the ultimate archive. Everything will be saved. And lo and behold, all you have to do is delete your Facebook account. And then you're like, well, you just lost 700 photos.
Yes.
From the years 2008 to 2019.
Because I've looked up this card before and I at least got like four or five like hits on it. And this was the first year that I only found one. So this might actually become like a lost artifact. I'm glad I saved like the photos just in case anyone has any questions about it.
Wow. This is an artifact in the true sense of the word. This is something Indiana Jones would get his hands on and be like, you can't let that fall into the hands of the Nazis.
You really can't. The Nazis cannot know about this.
I don't know why I gave him an accent. He doesn't have one in the film. But.
I do like you just saying Nazis. Bobby, would you mind reading the, it's not much, just the sentence that comes after "how could I forget" from Queen of the Eyesores?
Oh boy, it says, so Queen of the Eyesores, "how could I forget ! The only good thing about today is this awesome Valentine's Day card that I happened to pick up on the same day as snowed in 2K5.
Which I'm going to guess is a reference to the year 2005.
God, I hope so, because this is also a parlance and sort of a symbolic language that I think we lost. I was once given like a friendly group intervention by friends who said I was texting like a weirdo because I was using all abbreviations, and they asked me to stop. They like had a formal sit down with me and said, it's too much.
That's incredible.
But it was me saying things like 2K5, G2G, BRB. And they said, Bobby, you're too... I believe they were very nice. They're like, you're too eloquent to talk like that. And I said, okay, indubitably.
Wait, how old were you when they gave you this intervention?
Too old. 19, 20, probably.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like people... I mean, if you are still using LOL to this day, I'm not judging. I'm just saying, like, if that's appropriate, then I don't see what's so wrong with saying G2G. Like, I don't understand what's so much of a problem. The amount of times I type haha at the end of text.
I think it was the volume. It wasn't the singular words. Okay. There was too many. I looked at text messaging in the early days as sort of like a telegram. Like, it's my job to convey the most information with the least amount of space possible. So
right.
At any opportunity, I would abbreviate or use shorter words. And people would say, this looks like a rune that's going to be inscrutable to people 15 years down the road.
You kind of think to yourself, well, I'm paying by the letter, so I have pretty frugal with my...
You paid for text. That's something we can't explain.
You were stuck in that mindset, even though it was like, it's more about the text per minute. And then once we get to iPhones, it's like, really, it's more about the data. We don't give a shit how much texting you do.
Gen Z, this is why you need a war. You just don't know what it was like for us.
Yeah, you're right. I'm one of those young kids who just didn't have to suffer. So I'm all about my hot rod and my hair oil. And I'm just like, whatever, I could text as much as I want as I go down to Big Man's Creek. You're right, though. Like, I catch myself because of how lazy I am. I like to write the letter U for saying the word U. And sometimes I will catch myself in an email to like somebody at work going like, let me know how I can help you with. And I'm like, oh, you got to write the whole letter out, Dan. You can't just write that. Yeah. I'm not allowed to devolve English like that on my own. There's still an expectation.
But they'll know.
They should. But at the same time, I don't want to come off as too lazy in that way, because that definitely can happen. Yeah. Also, I just tend to text too quickly, so my texts are just littered with grammatical errors constantly.
I find them lively and engaging.
Thank you, friend. And if you ever wanted to G2D or G2... If you ever wanted to G2G or BRB me, there would be no problems with that whatsoever. It's a safe space here to TTYL.
Hags.
Hags. Hackers for me, if you want to get fancy. Are you having a kick-ass summer? Because I'm not.
It would be Hal, haggle, have a good Lupercalia.
Have a good Lupercalia. I want to do hackle, have a kick-ass Lupercalia.
That one works. That actually works for the wolf part. So I'm into that. Yeah.
Hackle. Have a great Lupercalia.
Hashtag hackle. Our hashtag's dead. I feel like that's going to be the relic of our generation is hashtags. I feel like
I stopped doing them in post because I don't think they engage at all.
I like them because they're funny.
Yeah, for me, it's all about being as unserious as possible. So like I can do a hashtag and it's just a full sentence, that's just hilarious to me.
In 2013. It's still funny now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing, is Gen Z doing hashtags? Is that anything anymore? But that's not a question for us, two people who aren't even mimes. It really is. I just want to say, like, it is a question of whether or not this, for me, well, okay. What is your thought of these like two parts of the card coming together?
They cannot and they should not, but yet they do. This is the most Dadaist card I think we've ever encountered. This, and it's got, actually, you know what? All things considered, it's not a terrible card. It's got irony. It's got abstract concepts. It's flavorful. It's not bad, honestly. Like, I think the composition cannot help but be ironic. Like, I don't think anyone made this card with any sort of sense of sincerity. It does feel of like someone found the mime card, thought that was a really hokey bit, and then put the kid's face in the middle.
Yes.
But if that was a card company, very forward thinking, because this was what humor was for many, many years. I feel like this is internet humor from like 2012 to 2015. This is what we were all looking for in that day and age.
That's such a great point, Bobby. It's fun to like go back into the annals of what is now like ancient internet history, which we can say in that, because this was probably early Homestar Runner, just before the Eichen Has Cheeseburger era. And it really is like predicting what the lolcat era of comedy is going to be, which was very much deep in like absurdism, or not even really irony, just more so like you said, Dada is sort of like one thing doesn't mean the other.
Juxtaposition,
so it's like,
of like juxtaposition, of, yeah, in inconsistent images or phrases, yeah,
being absurd for the sake of absurd. And sometimes that was grating, and other times it was meh, and then other times it was actually quite, you know, funny, and those things kind of lasted. But the fact that we're dealing with an analog version of that comedy, it's one that you have to purchase at a store, not one that you can download or look at on like an older Reddit forum. Like, this is just, this exists in that world, and it successfully predicted it, and is also kind of weirdly timeless. Like, it's not so much like it's not meme to death where like someone would roll their eyes at it today. I almost want to like print out this card. I want to find a way to get all of these graphics and find a way to print this card and see if people respond to it today, just because you open it up and it's the disappointment of that child's face that you have taken a moment to enjoy it. I don't know why, but this card speaks to me. It's just, it demands you feel bad for how you feel if you liked it at the beginning, or if you rolled your eyes, it agreed with you. It's just, I don't know. It's a whole story in itself.
Imagine writing a sincere Valentine in here, though. That would be the next level. Is, yes. You have the Valen mimes, you have the reaction face, and then someone says, "Ever since I met you, I felt like my whole world has shifted, and I just want to take this moment to let you know that you mean so much to me, and man, would I look forward to many more years of being with you, and you just should know how great you are."
Right next to the photo of an unhappy child. Something about having, just the photo, just like a... this, something about an unhappy, Bobby and I are doing the face to each other, just the photo of an unhappy child next to these like sincere words. Oh, perfect.
And I think that this card is a relic in the same way that I feel like IP prayer candles will be a relic of our era, this current one rather, I should say. It doesn't belong to us, but that sense of ironic juxtaposition is enough to make a meme is viewed now in the same way that 10 years from now people will be like, "Remember when Nancy Pelosi had candles for some reason?"
Yeah. Was funny. Remember when Cardi B was on the kind of candles that you only buy for Santeria? Yeah. Like, that's, yeah. what an era that is. I mean, everything will always be eye roll worthy for the generation afterwards. Yeah. Like, that'll always be the case. So there's no reason to be worried about whether or not it's timeless, because most stuff is not. And then if you're worried about it being timeless, just wait another generation. Then the next generation after that will actually look at it fondly.
It's like cringe kitsch timeless is like the
cringe
the constant,
kitsch timeless.
Yeah,
yes.
The constant flow.
Every generation that comes up hates the thing that came up after them, and the generation after that goes, "Wait a minute, that wasn't so bad." So if you have those, like you said, IP prayer candles, keep them up. I tried to look for some Prince ones and I couldn't find them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's, you got to keep them around. The same way if you have like Notorious RBG massive painting, keep it around. It'll probably be, it'll be a relic later on. But this, if you are listening to our voices now, ding dongs, and you have a copy of this card, happy Valentine's Day. Bobby and I are willing to shill in together probably no less than $500. And I am speaking for Bobby here, because I think we're both in agreement of that.
It's true. He speaks for me.
I speak for you and the $500 in your pocket. That's a grand, folks. So, you know, let us know if you have it.
Try us. See if we're not serious.
But Bobby, where would you rate this card if you were to be given this by your beau, which I'm assuming is your wife? Where would you get this on your card? Well, or where would you put this on your fridge?
Well, first off, stay out of my personal life. Second,
sorry. My apologies.
How could you not hang this card somewhere prominent? Like, there's too much. It's overwhelming. It may not be a perfect card. It may not be a sincere card necessarily, but you can't help but look at it, and you may not be able to look away. And really, if you're not looking at a mime, are they performing? Because you don't know otherwise.
Great question.
So I think this one is going, gotta be like middle of the fridge to the right. So like, I feel like I have to reserve the center of the fridge for a card that perhaps has a little more emotional heft, but I would look at this card all the time and question it and study it like a fine painting. So I want it pretty close to eye level. That's where I'd put it. How about you?
That's very fair, Bobby. I appreciate that. That is a very appropriate and also honorable space for it. I, however, cannot get over just how much this card means to me. Drinking a lot of seltzers today. If I was lucky
rough day
enough,
at work.
Rough day at the old seltzer factory that I keep drinking in. It's a rough job, but someone's got to drink it. If I was lucky enough to find a copy of this card, it would not leave my eyesight. It is one of those
hasn't.
Cards.
It stayed with you for 12 years.
That's what I'm saying. If I was lucky to find a copy of this card again, I would need to fully embrace how much it means to me. It is like, it is basically like the closest to a St. Valentine's religious text that I'll ever be able to get to. There is so much to this where, like, this is the Lupercalia ancient text we must return to in order to promise a good harvest and hopefully good fertility. You will get it from these mimes and, to a lesser extent, the sad child inside of the card. And to that end, this card all year round deserves to be, in my opinion, the center freezer door in the middle of it all, where its light of absurd, ironic, lack of time given to it, lack of love. The love is what you put into it, and the love is the interpretation that you get from it. And hopefully those beams of intention just shine out for all the other cards around it. And that is what I'm hoping it will give, not just in Valen Mimes Day, but all mime year long.
Beautifully said.
Thank you, friend. I appreciate it. Yeah. I am so grateful that you have walked with me down this very strange road we decided to go to today. I was thinking about what I was going to bring for the Valentine's Day episode, and I was like, wait a minute, I remember this card. Where can I find it? And thank you again to Queen of the Ice Stores at Mesa Loca. Without you, this would have been lost to time. And maybe once we post this on the Instagram, there will be two options for someone to find it.
The pebble, when it breaks the surface of the water, never knows how far the ripples will reach, you know.
Was that Batman?
That was Batman, yes. That was that was Val Kilmer's Batman.
That was Val Kilmer's Batman saying this. God, Bobby, you know the right things to say around these holidays.
And listener, if you know the right thing to say, you can get in touch with us, like we said a billion times, literally, at GreetingsPod on Instagram or at GreetingsCast on X, Twitter. I still can't say X.
Just pick one. It's fine. Pick one. Doesn't matter.
Dan, what a holiday. Love is love. Love to love. We love to love to love. And I'm going to sign off by miming something to you, and the audience doesn't have to know what it's about because it's between us.
Okay. You mime, and then I'll mime as well. And this is going to be how we end for the day. For those listening at home, Bobby and I began on the term childlike fear. Childlike fear, use it in your daily emails.
Your daily bread.
Give us this day our daily Fred.
Mm-hmm.
Fred Durst. Give us our daily Slipknot.
Give us
Slipknot.
Our daily Fred Durst. Give us our daily Slipknot.
Give us this day our daily Slipknot.
You know someone has that tattoo.